Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue to look at our series where we look at our habits and what it means to let God transform our habits. It is hard to change a habit and impossible to do all on our own. So we need to ask for help. So who helps us? Let me read from James chapter 5. Verses 13 to 20. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So who helps us to overcome our bad habits and our sins? Last week we saw how we need God to help transform us if we want to have any hope of changing our ways. If we try to attempt any kind of change without God, we are dooming ourselves to failure. And so we need to consistently come to God in prayer. New Testament letters often end with a focus on prayer, and James is certainly not exempt from this practice. The authors of the New Testament letters knew the importance and the power of prayer. If we want anything in life to change, then we need to seek God and ask him to work his will. James firmly states that in all aspects of life, we need to pray. If anyone is in trouble, pray. If anyone is happy, pray. If anyone is sick, pray. If anyone has sinned, pray. In all things we are to pray because, as James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then he points to the example of Elijah, who was just like any of us, and yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed for rain, it then rained. The most important person we need to come to for help in transforming our habits is God. We need God to perform his transforming work in us if we are to have any hope of becoming more like Christ. So above all, the person who helps us most when we want to overcome our bad habits is God. So we need to lift up our voices to pray. But God also does not expect us to go it alone. He provides other people for us to turn to for help, as well as him. And note it's as well as, not in place of. God has formed us into a family with the intention that we support each other in this journey of faith. God has given us brothers and sisters from all different backgrounds and perspectives, and he has united us together so that we are able to cope with the struggles we face, to be accountable to one another, and to encourage and spur each other on in our journey as we grow closer to God. This is true when it comes to trying to break our bad habits and turn our back on sins too. James tells us, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I don't know about anyone else, but this verse makes me feel a bit uneasy. Confess my sins to someone else. tell someone else about the deepest, darkest parts of me that make me ashamed? Can't I just tell God? After all, he already knows. But James tells us to confess our sins to each other. Why? Why should we confess our sins to each other? Well, James gives us the answer, so that you may be healed. When we sin, when we rebel against God, we do permanent damage to ourselves by causing a separation between us and God that only Jesus' forgiveness can heal. We need to confess our sins and seek God's forgiveness to be healed and made new. Now, this healing might be a physical healing, but so often, healing from God is deeper than our physical bodies. Most of the time, the thing that most needs healing in our lives is our souls. We all need spiritual healing much more than we ever need physical healing. And confessing our sins to God and receiving his grace brings us this healing. But why, you may ask, do we need to involve other people if only the grace that comes from God can heal us? Isn't it enough that we turn to God and ask for his forgiveness? Well, yes, of course. There is nothing that needs to be added to God to bring us freedom and healing. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is sufficient to overcome any and all sin. So why does James tell us to confess our sins to each other? Well, firstly, it's so that someone else can pray for us as well. We are to confess our sins to each other first and foremost so that that person can pray for you. Confession is made for the express purpose of prayer. Remember what we thought about just a moment ago. If God is not involved, then any human attempt to find absolution is useless. This is true of when we need to confess something to someone. Prayer needs to happen. We cannot forget the prayer part. Confession on its own will not heal. Sympathy will not heal. A listening ear will not heal. Only when we bring it to God do we experience the healing we need. God is our great physician, and we are under his care. And just like our human GPs, God gives out prescriptions. And one of his prescriptions for healing is confession and accountability for the purpose of prayer. When we confess to someone, they can join with us in praying to God. Knowing that someone else is praying for you when you have a particular problem is a powerful feeling. It can help us when we have those moments where we feel like giving up or giving in. Let us not underestimate the power of praying for one another. A second reason James tells us to confess our sins so that we can receive healing in ourselves is so that we can be accountable to someone who can help us avoid falling back into the temptation of our sin. It is clear that communicating a desire to do or not do something to someone else makes it much more likely that we will commit to that action. For example, while I was studying at Spurgeon's College, I made an agreement with one of my friends to work at becoming fitter. Now, there are not many forms of exercise I can do without risking significant damage to myself, but I can go swimming with little chance of danger. So I agreed with a friend to go swimming after lectures. Now, I know myself well enough to know that if I hadn't agreed this with my friend, there was no way I was going to be going swimming. The temptation to just sit back and relax would have been too strong, and I wouldn't have done anything about it. But my friend would sidle up to me at the end of the lectures and ask, "So, are we going swimming then?" And we can take this principle and apply it to our spiritual lives too. So when we have a habit that we want to change, a sin that we want to overcome, confessing it to a Christian friend can help us stay accountable. To give an example, suppose a person had a problem with drinking too much and they were worried about falling into alcoholism. They tell a friend about it. Then the next day they go to a social occasion. When it comes time to order the drinks, the person goes to order an alcoholic drink and their friend gently suggests that maybe they should stick to non-alcoholic choices. This doesn't automatically mean the bad habit will stop, but it provides another layer of protection against falling into those bad habits. So when we confess our sins to someone, we can receive healing in ourselves. We can also have healing in our relationships with one another. When you feel the need to confess your sins to someone, who is it that you're most often likely to go to? It's normally the person that your sin has hurt the most. We often feel a need to seek forgiveness from the ones that we have hurt most, because we recognise that our sins have damaged the relationship with that person. And if there is to be any chance of healing in that relationship, we need to confess our wrongdoing to them and hope that we might receive forgiveness from them. When I think about forgiveness, I cannot help but think of the story of Corrie ten Boom and the prison guard. She had been giving a talk on forgiveness to a group of people in Munich after the Second World War. She said to them, "When we confess our sins, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. But then, after the talk, she found herself being approached by a man. And let me read what she wrote in her book, The Hiding Place. "And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with a skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the centre of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück, a concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fowland. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner amongst those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. Again, his hand came out. Will you forgive me? I can't imagine the pain and suffering that she went through. It must have been the most difficult thing for Corrie to do, to hold out her hand to shake this guard's hand. She continued writing, Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand, I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. It's such an amazing story of how Corrie actually was able to put the forgiveness of God into action. I cannot imagine how hard that must have been. But imagine with me for a moment if the guard had remembered Corrie and her sister. Imagine if he could picture all the horrible things that he did to her personally. I would imagine that if he had remembered her personally, then going up to her and confessing his crimes and asking for forgiveness would have been so much harder for him to do, and yet so much more important to him. When we recognise that our habits, behaviours, attitudes and words have caused harm to someone, when we recognise that our relationship with someone has broken down because of our sin, it becomes even more important to confess our sins and pray for forgiveness and healing. Because only when we are open and honest with people and allow God to do his restoring work can we truly receive healing to relationship damaged by sin. Is there anyone that you need to confess to? Is there anyone that has confessed to you and that you need to forgive? Forgiveness is hard. I mean, look at Corrie ten Boom's story. But yet, with God, nothing is impossible. And he shows us the absolute enormity of the cost of forgiveness by Jesus going to the cross for us. And he asks us too to be willing to forgive. So confession is important for healing ourselves, for the healing of relationships, and also for the healing in the church. The church is not a physical building, but the spiritual binding of all of us as one body. And that means that what affects one person in the body of Christ affects the entire body. Even if no one else is aware of a dispute between two believers in the church, even if no one else has witnessed any sign of strife, even if it took place away from the church building, it still affects the whole body of believers. In the same way an infection in my little finger would affect my whole body, so too would a problem with one part of the church affect the whole. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks at length about the church being like a body, which has many parts, but together forms one whole. In verse 26, Paul tells the Corinthians, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. If we allow bad habits and sins to fester inside of ourselves, rather than confessing it to God and to each other, then you suffer. And if you suffer, then everyone else in the church suffers as well. It is important that we follow James's advice and confess our sins and allow for healing of others, of our allow for healing for ourselves, of our relationship with others and of the church. When we confess our sins and allow ourselves to be supported by our fellow Christian brothers and sisters, then the whole church is strengthened as we recognise our need to depend on each other as we learn to follow God. So we've seen why it's important to confess to one another, as it brings healing to ourselves, to damaged relationships, and to the church. And next week, we'll consider why we find confession to each other so hard, and then what we can do about it. But for now, let's spend some time in prayer as we talk to God. Lord, you know that we are sinful, self-centered people. We do not act in the way you teach us to act. Our behaviours, our attitudes, even our very thoughts so often rebel against you. And Lord, we are so sorry. And Father, we confess our sins to you in this moment. Lord, I thank you that you have given us a support network of Christian friends, Christian family, brothers and sisters that you have made part of our family because of your love for us. And you call us to rely on one another for healing, for prayer. And so when we have something that we are struggling with, help us to seek a trusted Christian friend, to start the healing work together. So we can trust that we can pray for one another, we can heal damaged relationships, and we can see healing in the whole church. Thank you that you strengthen us as we join together. And we pray that we would have the courage to confess our sins to one another, and the love to deal with each other with forgiveness and grace. In your name we pray. Amen.